yesterday. You may remember that. We were discussing my Hendrix problem. How many were there yesterday? Raise your hand. Okay, maybe 40%. Sometimes blood even has a problem. You see, as a sura, as a deva, demigod, he's a devotee of Krishna. But the demigods, as you know, are attached a little bit to control. So, Indra felt threatened by this unknown blue boy in Vrindavan. It's not that he's against Krishna, as we explained last night. It's just that he couldn't believe that that little blue boy in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of God. We explained yesterday how twice in the Bhagavatam, Indra said, Krishnam Marcham Upashrita. Those Vrijvasis have made a great mistake by taking shelter of an ordinary person, Krishna. Yesterday we explained about the lifting of Govardhan Hill. Now what happened after? This is the day after the lifting of Govardhan Hill. So, what happened? We explained yesterday how the Lord put the hill slowly back in its place. We explained the reception, the celebration that the residents of Vrindavan had. Even the demigods in heaven were also involved. It was a universal mahotsava, a universal festival of appreciation for Krishna. All the residents of Vrindavan were offering their congratulations according to their stature. The cows were so happy. The cowherd men were so happy. We explained how those who were older than Krishna, those who were his elders, they gave blessings to Krishna for his great act of saving Vrindavan from Indra's wrath. We explained how they massaged his left hand, the hand that held up the hill. They cracked the joints on his fingers. They're thinking, Krishna's arm must be tired. The muscles, the bones must be out of alignment in some way. Maybe Sachin and Amadhira, the form of returning So, those who were juniors to Krishna paid their obeisances and massaged his feet. And those who were equals, they embraced Krishna, laughed, and they joked. And finally, the young gopi girls, they could seize the opportunity to publicly glorify Krishna. Normally they couldn't do that because they're chaste young village girls. They don't publicly glorify young boys. But because all of Vrindavan was glorifying Krishna, the young gopis could express their feelings in public without feeling that they were being unchaste. And secretly they exchanged affectionate glances with Krishna. So, the cowherd men, they began to wonder, who is this child? We explained yesterday how, while Krishna held up the hill, none of the Vrijvasis were thinking, who is he? They were just staring at him with wide open eyes as he held Govardhan in his hand. They're staring at him with wide open eyes, mesmerized, hypnotized by his beauty. And Krishna was staring back at them. Bhakti is reciprocation. The devotees want to love the Lord, and the Lord loves the devotees. Now, after some contemplation, speculation by the cowherd men, who is Krishna? Is he God? Is he ordinary boy? They went to Nanda Maharaj, who clarified the situation in such a way that made the elder cowherd men happy. The conclusion was, Krishna's like Narayan. Nanda Maharaj told him that. He's got power from Narayan, but he's not God, nor is he an ordinary child. In this way, the Vatsalya Ras of Krishna's superiors, the parental love, was kept intact. What about Indra? We ended last night telling about Indra's going to see Lord Brahma for advice. Lord Brahma is the chief, and Indra asked what to do. I offended Krishna. And Lord Brahma told him, you have to go approach Krishna directly. A Sarabi cow told Lord Indra that you should go very humbly to where Krishna is at Vrindavan and offer your prayers. Don't bring Airavata, your carrier, along with you. Don't bring your elephant carrier. Go there humbly. And Sarabi also went. Krishna knew that Indra was coming, and in order not to embarrass him, in order not to crush him completely, Krishna was out walking around Govardhan Hill in the early morning to inspect the sides of the hill to see how much damage Indra's thunderbolts had done. And that way Krishna was arranging to be alone at what is now Govindakund. Because Indra's a big man, and Krishna didn't want to humiliate him in public, the Lord simply wanted to make an adjustment on Indra's mad pride. So Indra falls at Krishna's feet with his golden helmet. And he begins to offer prayers to the Lord. Prayers by Lord Indra. He explains how the Lord is not a product of the material world. Nor is the Lord affected when he appears in the material world. He always maintains his position beyond the three modes of nature, even when apparently he's within the modes of material nature. What is a good example to indicate how the Lord is apparently within the three modes, Triguna, but actually does not connect with Triguna? Do you have rainbows in the sky here in South Africa? The ends of the rainbow seem to rest on the earth, but if you try to travel on the ground to find out where the end of the rainbow is resting, you won't find it. It just seems the ends of the rainbow seem to rest on the earth. Similarly, Krishna seems to be in this material world. He seems to have his foundation here. But actually, Krishna is eternally in the spiritual world. Wherever he goes, there's no material energy for Krishna. It's all his personal energy. So Indra made that point clear. It's very good that he says this, because he is the one, when he became so mad, that he sent the Samvartika clouds, the clouds of cosmic annihilation, he sent them to Vrindavan. He was sure this Krishna is an ordinary boy. But now, in his prayers, he's establishing very clearly, this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and my worship of the Lord. And he's not a part of the material world. He's not affected by the material world. Now, Indra is very afraid of being chastised and punished. He knows he deserves it. So he begins to propitiate the Lord or offer an appeal to the Lord. He said, my dear Lord, you are the guru of the universe. You are the proprietor of everything. You are the Father of all living entities. Therefore, I'm just a child. Don't take my offenses so seriously. I know it's the duty of the Guru of the Father to correct the children, discipline the children. But actually, my Lord, punishing me won't do any good. I'm as stupid as an animal. If you punish an animal with a stick, he doesn't remember that he's done something wrong. Similarly, please don't punish me. Just give me your mercy so that I can become purified. The Acharya is explaining. This was interesting to have. The Acharya is also explaining Krishna's mentality. Krishna's thinking aloud to Indra, I'm not concerned about punishing you. I'm concerned about protecting the Vrijvasis. Punishing you is not my department. I'm the protector of the Vrijvasis. Your punishment will come from Yamaraj. Oh, Indra didn't like that. My Lord, please. Punishment won't do me any good. I'm stupid as an animal. You can beat me with a stick, and I'll just forget what I did wrong. Better you just give me your mercy. Now, Indra's motive was simply to avoid punishment. Not exactly to become free from pride. So, the Lord forgave him, but the Acharyas point out, the Lord did not promise Indra that Indra would never become proud again. Instead, Krishna told him, just try to control your pride. Because Krishna knew in the future Indra would lose his intelligence to become proud again. When would that be? No. The Parijata flower. Krishna goes to the heavenly planets to get a Parijata flower. For his wife. And Indra becomes very angry, thinking that Krishna is just an ordinary henpecked husband. Actually, Indra is henpecked. But he's seeing his problems and everyone's. So he thought, Krishna, just a henpecked ordinary person coming to take the punch off the flower from the heavenly planet, he wants to bring it back down to earth. So it was a military fight. So that will happen in the future. Once again, Indra loses his intelligence because of pride. After Indra offered his prayers to the Lord, the Surabhi cow began to speak. And the Surabhi cow's position was very clear. She had had enough of Indra. Indra had tried to wipe out all the cows in Vrindavan. And the Surabhi cow, although she's from the heavenly planets, she's seeing the transcendental Surabhi cows in Vrindavan as her kinfolk. Now the Acharyas say that this is a sentiment which is not exactly correct. The cows in Vrindavan are the transcendental Surabhi cows. But this particular Surabhi with Indra came from a planet within the material world. So, just like the moon thinks that Krishna is from his family because Krishna appears in the dynasty of the moon. Similarly, the Surabhi cow from an individual world thought that all the transcendental Surabhi cows of Vrindavan were her kin. So, she prayed to Krishna, you are our Indra. We don't want any more from the ordinary injured. You please be our injured for us. Show me how to take direct shelter of Krishna. You see, what is Krishna demonstrating with the Govardhan Lila? He's demonstrating that always simply take shelter of Krishna. There's no need to approach the demigods directly. And Krishna is showing that even if the demigods become angry because you're neglecting them, they think, because you're worshiping Krishna, so Krishna will protect you. This is the meaning of the lifting of the Govardhan Hill in terms of correcting our vision as to what is important in life. Krishna is showing that in all cases, in all circumstances, no matter what, perform devotional service to Krishna. That is the legitimate, authorized way of activity. And even if the demigods protest, they shouldn't. Actually, the demigods should help anyone who becomes a devotee of Krishna. But just sometimes they become overwhelmed. In the case of the Govardhan Lila, it was not simply Indra. He had the cooperation of Varuna. He had the cooperation of other demigods. Under Indra's influence, they lost their intelligence. So, by Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, he's showing you that no matter what happens, always give exclusive attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brother Ram, and even in some special, unprecedented circumstance in which a demigod becomes offended, where's the puja I used to get? Where are the offerings? Krishna will protect you. He shows that. Out of appreciation for what Krishna had done, protecting the cows, the Surabhi cow began to bathe Krishna with her milk. And Indra bathed the Lord with water through the trunk of his carrier, Airavata. Indra was a little hesitant to take part in the Abhishek because he had been offensive. But his mother, Aditi, urged him, come on, come on. Take part in this purifying. This will be purifying for you. Glorify Krishna along with the. You give the water to the trunk of your Airavata elephant carrier, and the Surabhi cow will pour her milk in this way. Everyone showed their appreciation for Krishna. Now let us look at our life as we live it. We have to decide how much of our life is really meant for Krishna. All of it, part of it, a little bit of it, a lot of it. That we have to decide. Every man and woman must be analytical about their life. You need to see how much energy you're giving to Krishna and how much you're keeping back for yourself. As long as we are keeping back energy from Krishna, we won't be happy. Selfishness never made anyone happy. Through the prism, through the eyes of material nature, it looks like if you simply get what you want, if you simply fulfill your desires, then you'll be happy. But this is not about it. If you simply try to fulfill your desires, you'll be miserable. Selfishness is no way to happiness. Happiness means to give. So in order to be truly happy and to help someone else to be truly happy, you have to know what is the proper thing to give. First, give yourself Krishna consciousness, and then give Krishna consciousness to others. We're also in the month of Karti, celebrating Krishna's volunteering to come under the control of his devotee. He did it voluntarily. The devotee doesn't want any other benediction. Then, idam te rupur, not the Gopala Bala. You just want to see that vision of Bala Gopala evermore in your heart. That vision of Bala Gopala will rescue you from the dangerous ocean of material existence. As a baby, as a little boy, Krishna so sweetly shows his dependency on his parents, although he's the supreme independent one. So when we offer our lamps during this month of Karti, let us meditate on that wonder of Vritya Vashyata, how it is that Krishna comes under the control of his devotees' love and affection. We should meditate on what kind of love and affection that is. That the Supreme Lord himself wants to come under its control. You all are very fortunate to have this center where you can gather and hear the glories of Krishna. The more you hear about Krishna, the more the resentment we feel, we may feel toward Krishna, goes away. Why resentment? Because we try to be independent from Krishna. We try to do everything separate from Krishna, and we fail miserably. If we simply agree to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees, that resentment that we can't be God, we can't be the controller, we can't be the enjoyer, that resentment will go away. And we'll be happy to be a servant of Krishna. This is what we're looking for, to become happy and grateful that we have devotional service. I hope that when you all wake up in the morning, you thank Krishna that you have the Hare Krishna mantra, you have a Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and you have a chance to do some active service for the Lord. Please don't take that for granted. As soon as you rise, as you're bathing, as you're preparing for the day, thank Krishna for the opportunity you have to render transcendental service to the Lord. That's what you do when you offer food. I don't know if you realize it. When you make an offering to the Lord, you're expressing gratitude. Everything already belongs to Krishna. So it's not that you're giving to Krishna something that's outside of him. No. When you offer the prasad to the Lord, you're recognizing that Krishna is the proprietor, and you're also showing gratitude. Thank you, Krishna, for maintaining us. Thank you for your care. Let me show my gratitude by offering this food to you. That's what everything is like in Bhakti Yoga. It's done out of gratitude. We're so happy just to be known as being parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you want more devotional service, just start being grateful for what you have, and Krishna will notice that and then arrange for you to have more. But if you do your devotional service very begrudgingly, with a bad attitude, then why should Krishna think that you need more service? when you don't have the right attitude toward the service you have back. So please remember that the life of the bhakta, the devotee, is characterized by gratitude. When you offer bhoga to the Lord, you're expressing gratitude. You've given us, when you look at this, when you eat it, by glancing over it, you, my Lord, are creating opportunities for us to make spiritual advancement just by using our tongue. Just by using our tongue, we honor the prasad. We should feel grateful. That offering of prasad means gratitude. Similarly, devotee is grateful about and all the facilities that Krishna has given for devotional service. So, are there any questions? Please explain the essence of the prayers to Lord Dhamaka during this special period of Kartik. The purpose of Kartik is to please the queen of the Kartik vow, that is Srimati Radharani. The Kartik vow, the vrat to practice the Kartik vows or vrat. The queen of the vrat is Srimati Radharani. The Kartik vow is also known as Urja Vrata. And Srimati Radharani is known as Urjeshwari, the queen of the vows that people take. The Urja Vrata. And the last Shikshastic prayer, Namo Radhikaya Tadiya Priyaya. I offer my obeisances to Srimati Radharani. Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Jubya. I offer my obeisances to the unlimited pastimes of the Lord. This is ending things sweetly. That is the transcendental culture, that everything should end sweetly. At the same time, Sanatana Goswami explains, in the Dhammadrastic prayers, it's not wanted that the confidential truths of Srimati Radharani are broadcast too loudly. So therefore you just get a hint at the end. Namo Radhikaya Chodhya Priyaya. Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Jujyam. Ananta Leela. That seems to refer to Lord's pastimes in general. But it's a covered presentation of the Lord's intimate pastimes and his intimate devotees, of which Srimati Radharani is the dearest to the Lord. Just like in the Dhammadrastic prayer, where it describes Mubush Chumbi Tambin Lalakta Dharamne. Mother Yashoda is kissing the cheeks of Krishna. Please tell us of your intimate pastimes with Srila Prabhupada. Intimate. Just try to be his servant. We were all very young, very inexperienced, yet we tried to assist Srila Prabhupada in his pleasing his spiritual master. Just think, throughout the world, the Hare Krishna movement was only a few years old. We just celebrated here in South Africa the 30th anniversary. But just think, if here in South Africa and all over the world, the Hare Krishna movement was just a few years old. And the senior devotees in your temple were those who had been in the movement 2 years more than you think. They were the senior Vaishnavas. So, this is the way things began. We simply tried to assist Srila Prabhupada, to serve him, although we were all so young and inexperienced. We gave our youthful energies, and Prabhupada appreciated that. We sacrificed our youth. We didn't have experience. We didn't have the wisdom that older persons had, but we had youthful energies. So Prabhupada scooped all that up. Let me explain to you in that connection something about how time operates. Time is the manifestation of Krishna. As he says, and by the way, he could tell those to me, I am time. Just meditate on what time does to you. After three or four decades in this world, by the time you're in your 40s, even better, by the time you're in your 50s, if you have some common sense, you finally start to have what you think is some mature wisdom and experience how to live in this world without causing yourself a disaster. You've gone through your crazy teenage years. You've gone through your young adult years and 20s and 30s. And now you're in your 40s or 50s, and you can feel that I have some understanding of what life should be. But what is the cruel reality of even attaining this partial state of maturity based on experience? The cruel reality is your life is nearing its end. So when you have lots of strength and lots of physical enthusiasm, you are completely foolish and inexperienced. And when you become experienced and have some maturity, then you don't have the youthful energies. You see what mature nature does? You can't win. When you're youthful and full of life, you don't have a clue what you should be doing. You do so many foolish things. Later in life, when you are mature and experienced and are able to do many things competently, you don't have the physical energy. This is the nature of material existence. It's not meant to be fair. You're thinking, well, if only you could be young and mature at the same time. Nah, it doesn't work like that. When you're young, you've got so much energy, and you have no brains in terms of what to do with your energy. When you're older, you have lots of experience, but you don't have the energy to act on that experience. You don't have the energy to act on that wisdom. This is the nature of material existence. You cannot win. The odds are against you. It's rigged. You don't get a fair chance. The Prabhupada so expertly scooped up, siphoned off all our youthful energies. Even though we had no experience, we had energy. So he expertly took all that energy for Krishna. Please explain to us how Giriraj, who offers Krishna a beautiful place for his lotus feet to rest, is also Krishna. Now that very smart to start to explain yesterday. Very nice. actually, how Roberdon Hill is the best servant of the Lord, and also Roberdon Hill is an expansion of the Lord. Maharaj, is divorce permitted in ISKCON? First, one has to understand the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage is that man and woman can live a regulated, orderly life and make progress together, back going back to Godhead. That's the purpose of the family unit. There are four ashrams. Grihastha ashram, household ashram, is an ashram meant for spiritual cultivation. So when there is a divorce, there's a complete disruption in the natural progress of the man and woman. The children are so disturbed. Often it's not, their disturbance is not visible till later in life. Whole families are pulled apart. When I was flying from London to Johannesburg, as I was waiting for my bags, one man came up to me and just opened his hand, and his hand was some Java beads. He was turned out to be an Australian man. And he asked me, please bless his Java beads. He was here in South Africa for a very traumatic affair. So I was asking about his life, and this Australian man from Sydney told me how he had wealth, he had influence, he had a family, but then there was a divorce, and in the divorce he lost most of his money, because most of his money was tied up in a beautiful house. Now, the law says that the assets should be sold and divided 50-50 between the husband and wife. Is it like that here, too? But, in reality, the man couldn't live with himself doing that, because how can I have my children in a house? How can I sell the house that my children are in, and she's taking care of the children, and I don't want to be known to my children as having to keep them out of their house. So I'll let her keep the house. That was a very costly house. So that means he lost almost all his money. Let's see. He lost his wife. He lost the close fatherly relationship with his own children. He lost his house. He lost his money. And his divorce. Everything ripped apart. I was telling the man how I asked him whether he heard a mantra that ladies in Australia vibrate when it's time for the divorce. They encourage each other, the ladies encourage each other. And when you leave, don't get angry, get everything. Don't waste time getting emotional, just grab all of it. Leave him with nothing. He said, yeah, that's the way it is. So as a general policy, we don't like to see divorce. It does go on. What can be done? It does happen. I know there's one ISKCON temple and community in Hungary, New Brajadon, and there, if you want to live on that property, they're very beautiful deity worship. a wonderful kirtan. If you want to live on that property in the community, you cannot divorce. If you want to make a divorce, you have to leave the property. I heard that even amongst the Indians in South Africa, divorce is coming up. Is that so? Yes. Any other questions? So you're very fortunate to have this place you have in here to serve Krishna, hear about Krishna. Please be grateful for it. Please be grateful that you have a chance to be Krishna now. You have a chance to serve Krishna. Thank you very much.